Welcome to Christ Church Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
So we've been looking, Tim kicked us off first week of January with the New and Living Way from Hebrews 10. And I'm going to stay right there in that because I believe God wants to speak to us about some things which are really exciting. Can you hear me at the back? Good. Okay. So let's read Hebrews chapter 10 verses 19 to 22. You wouldn't mind putting that up, Tim? And let's read together. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and a full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. So the writer of the book of Hebrews explains that there is a new and living way to come to God and serve him. So that means there must be an old way that is dead. If there's a new and living way, then surely there's an old and dead way. So what is this way? I just want to talk about this for a few moments. What is this old and dead way? So when the Israelites were given the laws, they were given the law through Moses on stone slabs, if you want to put that picture up. So it probably didn't look quite like that, but probably quite similar, and it certainly was in Old English. But it was the law, the Ten Commandments were given through Moses on slabs of cold stone. And God instructed his people, the Israelites, to keep all of these laws. But they found something took place, was that they failed, certainly on many of them, and so there were sacrifices instituted to take away their guilt, which came from failing to keep the law. So, and there were animal sacrifices, and they were meant to clear, or be a picture of a clearing of sin from their hearts. And this is really interesting, isn't it? Because they were actually animal sacrifices, as horrible as you might think that is and as I think that is, but they were a picture of something better that was to come. But man, in his pride, altered all of this and actually really believed that by attempting to keep all of these laws, they could satisfy God. They could make God happy. Okay? By keeping all of these laws, and they added to those laws, and they believed that that would make them feel better than others. So many religious leaders of that day would try to keep many of these laws and add others to them, all in an attempt to appear superior to others, and this was, of course, would bring great pride. The love of God would have very little or no part in their keeping of the law. This was done as an external act. And this was the case for many Pharisees of Jesus' day. If you look through the New Testament at how Jesus spoke to people, you'll find most of his harsh words were towards the Pharisees. Why? Not because they were doing anything worse than anybody else, but actually because they were doing this, trying to find their own goodness out of the laws they kept. And for many people, even today, this is still the case. We, can still be caught in the belief that we please God by keeping the rules. Don't touch this. Don't do that. Do this and do that. So as a new believer, I'll just let you into, I love to be, to put all my dirty laundry out before you. So as a new believer, back in 94, I was absolutely swept away with this new truth that I'd suddenly come to know, that God had come to reveal to me. And it absolutely transformed my life. That Jesus had died for me in my place and had set me free. And I just wanted to know more about this. I was so taken up with this truth that I just wanted to soak up all the information I could find, which is a brilliant thing. And as you know, I've told this story 1500 times, but I used to work on a market stall, used to sell and still do sell rugs, and in those days I would leave the house very early in the morning, and I would put on something called a cassette. Anybody know what a cassette is in here? That's a plastic thing with a reel inside of it. You put it into a machine and it plays music or teaching. And so I used to get loads of tapes and put them into my van stereo and listen to a preach on the way to work in the dark. And then you have to turn it over and turn it over, push it in again, and then listen to the other side on the way home. And I would do this 3 or 4 times a week. And so I was soaking in some good teaching. And on the actual stall itself, I sold rugs, as I say, and I would probably have about 12 sales a day, which isn't a lot. And that left me with loads of time to read. So I would consume the Bible. So I'd have a big Bible on my stall and I would just read book after book. And it was so good. And I was so blessed to have a job that gave me that chance. So I would soak myself. But the interesting thing is, and now as I'm really old, I can see what was taking place in those days. So I was soaking in loads of information, good information, but I can recognize now a gradual change that took place in those early years as I was very immature. So I began reading books and listening to tapes on the disciplines of the Christian faith. Now, these can be defined as maybe prayer, Bible reading, fasting, telling others about Jesus. And I can remember one particular book. You might know this, I'm sure you don't, but it was called Could You Not Tarry 1 Hour? Anybody know that book? Wow. It was written by a guy called Larry Lee, and it was a big book in the mid 90s. Basically, he was putting something across that we should all. He wasn't done in a legalistic way, but we should all learn how to pray for 1 hour a day. Okay, so I read this book and thought, yeah, that's me. I'm going to pray for 1 hour every day. So I thought, well, how can I fit that into my work, my life? So I would get up an hour early and try to pray, but then I would find out I was dropping off after 7 minutes, and I think that's not going to work. So I would start to pray after work, and I was so tired after work I would drop off as well. I was thinking, ah, what a bad Christian I am. I can't do what this book is telling me to do, and I so want to be an amazing Christian, but I can't do it, Lord. Oh, what a failure I am, I thought. I tried to pray, but apparently not enough. And then I would get into fasting, because I knew that fasting was something for super Christians. And so I would start to fast and believe that that was a way that I would really get into God's presence and really get my prayers answered. So as a challenge, I remember this quite clearly, did this for a period of time, and again, not necessarily anything wrong with it, but I would fast for 3 days, but then, as I started to feel dizzy, I would expect God to answer my prayers, because I had earned it, you see? I put the effort in, Lord. I've gone without food for 3 whole days. So now you, Lord, have to answer my prayers. So what was I doing, actually, in these disciplines? I was trying to get God legally bound to hear me and answer me. Now, it's good and it's right to pray. It's good and it's right to fast. It's good and it's right to read your Bible. Jesus tells us to do these things. But what I was doing in those days was I was turning these things, these good things, into something that I could control God with. Isn't that amazing? I was trying to control God and also to appear right before other people. So I was saying, I remember once walking into the office at my previous church and saying, I read the entire book of Romans yesterday. And this older chap turned around and he said, the entire book? That's amazing. And I felt within my heart saying, well, yeah, that's me. Do you understand? Now, I know you don't struggle with the same thing as I do, like pure pride, but I'm sure there's other stuff. So I was starting on a road that led to the Pharisees' behavior in Jesus' day. There wasn't much difference. Just as Jesus said, that cup, the picture of the cup, I was clean on the outside, apparently, but inside of that cup, it was dirty. My motives were not right before God. It was to do with control, and it was to do with pride. It's good to be honest, isn't it, with each other? So as fallen human beings, we have a powerful desire to be in control. Has anybody recognised that? Have you recognised it within yourself? You might recognise it in others. Yeah? But it was only after a few years of losing my joy of salvation, of which that naturally happened after this situation I was in, that I realised my heart was far from God. And I had to double check myself and say, what has gone wrong here? I was into doing a lot of doing rather than being, okay? So I was into doing the stuff of God, but without the relationship to God. Now this can be pictured, as Tim Keller beautifully says, this can be pictured as outside in living, okay? The old and the dead way. I attempted to do external actions like fasting and prayer, which are good, but to be right with God. And when I thought I'd achieved them, or got to some level, I remember reading a certain amount of scripture and saying, right, I'm done. Lord, I've read the portion I meant to do. Right, I feel like I've accomplished today. And I used to sit back and enjoy my achievements. But they had nothing to do with my love or desire for God. They were done for my status, okay, to make me a super Christian. Now, so what was the real motive behind these things? What was I really after? Now, if you really think about this, I'm sure you might come to the opinion that we're all after approval. I was after approval. I wanted people to look at me and say, well done, Andy, you've achieved so much. Also, you're doing so much better than everybody else. Okay? Isn't that amazing, such insecurity? For me? Yeah, Vic's laughing. As we all fall and we're all looking for approval in many, many different ways. Have you ever checked yourself about that? What are you looking for approval in? We look at it for approval through our jobs, maybe the way that we bring up our children, maybe the homes that we live in. Our income can be a big way that we try to get approval from those around us. We're all hungry for glory. Have a think on this, yeah? Have a think on your own personal life for a moment. It's a big thing. It's good to think on these things personally, because it gets you to get to know yourself better, because God knows you for sure. And sometimes it can be very, very hidden and entrenched. But this is all part of the fall. In Adam, we chose to be alienated from God, and because of that situation, we crave approval. The only approval that could be found in Him. And we haven't got it, so we try to get it from lots of other areas. And it's in us all. And it's only God who truly can bring us this powerful approval. Because man's approval, if you've noticed, is very fickle. Isn't it?
Yeah.
So are you a believer in the Lord today? Are you driven by a need for approval in your life? See, this affects all of us, and it's so common, but so subtle. It can show its face in being a workaholic. And I've seen that. You know, you work, you do well, you get promoted. Why are you doing these things? Sometimes there's something behind that where you are attempting to find approval and get approval. Are you an incessant worrier in your life? Have a look at why you're an incessant worrier. As well as this situation, it can also be, and I've fallen into this too, if I'm being honest with you, that as believers, we sometimes think the Christian life is just too difficult. And so we settle for believing in God for entry to heaven, and we go to church, we do the right stuff. But actually, there's little change in our life year on year. We don't desire to pray much. We certainly don't fast. We don't read too much of the Bible. And in all these things, we see a Christian life that maybe is just outside in living. Old and dead and not inside out living, that is new and living, as Hebrews says. So that sounds pretty bad news up to now, but I've got some great news for you coming up, okay? I'm going to give you this example that Jesus gave from Luke 18, 9 to 14. You probably know this parable. Let me just read it to you. It says, "To some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself," notice that, "and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, even this tax collector. Okay, I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.' Jesus says, 'I tell you that this man, the tax collector, who were hated in that day, rather than the other, went home justified before God.'" Isn't that interesting? How many of us would say that the Pharisee, with all his good works, was justified before God, and not the man who stole all this money off everybody, especially those who couldn't pay? Jesus says the man who admits he is weak and realizes his situation is approved and accepted, not the one who does all these great things for God. Notice the Pharisee in that story is outside in living. His righteousness, his rightness before God is based on, I give up my tithe exactly, and I fast, and I do all of these things, and I keep the law. They are outside in living. Yet the tax collector recognizes his state and falls on God's mercy, not on trying to improve himself. So what's the way forward for us all? We see this in humanity. How can we overcome this incessant need for approval? Or is there a way to be truly approved once and for all? Wouldn't that be an amazing thing if we suddenly found out that there's a way to be approved once and for all? So let's go back to Hebrews. It says that there is a new and living way. So what is this new and living way? So this is where we need to understand carefully what Jesus accomplished on the cross. I'm going to give you a special treat today, which is possibly one of my favorite scriptures, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. Can you read these words with me? Because these are quite incredible. There's not many of them. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Now those words are so high and lofty that we can miss them. So let's say it again slowly. God made him, who's the him?
Jesus.
Who had no sin, to be sin for us. So that in Jesus, us, might become the righteousness of God. Are you starting to get this? Those words are shocking and revelatory. Okay? He became sin. Jesus, the Son of God, became sin. So that we, me and you, could become the righteousness of God. Have you ever studied that? Have you ever looked at it and applied it to yourself if you belong to him? He took our position and we took his. Goodness me, this is good news, isn't it? I took Jesus' position by pure grace. This means that when we accept Jesus, me with all my problems when I was 24, when I accepted Jesus, he made me completely righteous before God. And Jesus took on my unrighteousness, my complete and utter failure went upon Jesus. What a divine exchange! Are we getting this? We need to let this sink so deeply into our hearts, because this really does change us, okay? We are placed in the same position as Jesus had as he walked this earth. Think about that. As he always had with the Father. This is so mind-blowingly good news. It really is, and it can really transform us from being a Pharisee to being a real lover of God. It's not our good works or our holiness or our giving of much, much money or our amazing long, long praying that God approves of. Even though those things are so good to do, but the order has to be correct. It's actually our position that we already have in Christ that causes God to say, you are approved. Isn't that interesting? So I came into the Christian life and tried to soak up as much information and truth as possible, yet I didn't quite get this, and still I don't from time to time. I'm sure you're the same. We fall into stupid thinking sometimes, don't we? But I didn't get this, that actually I was already approved. I was already accepted. Wow. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
I didn't get it. I thought I needed to make myself more approved or more accepted by doing good stuff, like a good Christian should. Okay? It is actually our position that we already have in Christ that causes God to say, you are approved. God says, you have found approval in my sight, not because of how good you've been, but because of what Christ has done. Gosh, I just want to start praising right now, because it sets me free for all of the junk that I want to do to try and find approval. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just. I'm sure it's not, if you're honest with yourself. Because of all Jesus' righteousness was added to our account. Think of that, like a bank account. Christ added his righteousness so that you could not be richer. Do you know that? My goodness, it's so good. And he became poor on our account. God the Father says we are approved because of what Christ has done for us. So where does that leave all of these things, such as prayer, such as fasting, such as Bible study, and telling others about Jesus? Well, this is where the start is totally different. We live from the inside out, not the outside in. Yes, we begin the Christian life in the position of being fully approved and fully accepted from the inside. Now that is good news, isn't it? That alters everything you do on a daily basis. It alters your job. It alters the way that you might bring up your children. It alters the way you might do a relationship. God says, I'm pleased with you already. Just as when Jesus was baptized and said, he is my beloved son. That's exactly what he says about us when we accept him as our savior. He says over us, you are my beloved son or daughter. In you, I am well pleased.
Amen.
Not because of anything we have done, but because of Christ's work on the cross. Wow. Gosh. Shocking, isn't it? Your doing will not add to this. So, what we will find next is that we will study the Word of God, we will pray, and we'll find these things to be true. And so as you read your Bible, I'd love us all maybe just to set ourselves to read the book of Ephesians, or the book of Colossians, or Romans, all three, and just look at what applies to you. You will find that there is so much there that tells you has been added to your account. Read those three books. It's not a big call. And what will happen from that is you'll find, wow, and you'll feel your heart will swell with praise and thankfulness. And from that position, you will want to study more of the Bible. Not because you have to study the Bible, but because you want to, because you want to dig out of that book the wonderful works that God has done for you. We will do it not because we should, but because we cannot get enough of what it explains to us about what God has done in Christ. We will naturally pray because, not because we should, but because we want to talk to our Saviour. It's a different start, isn't it? And it's so subtle, and we can still fall into the same thing as what we did before, I've explained before, but this is why we need to read about what Christ has done for us and through us. Incredible thing. So our starting point won't be, I must. Have you had that starting point before in your Christian walk? Oh, I must do these things because it's what I should do. Yeah, I get that so often. And yet it will turn into a motivation of love. So love starts us off, love for God, and then we're inspired and motivated by love in all that we do. Love for God will inspire all of the actions that come from us. We will not try to love our enemy, but we'll find the Holy Spirit's love will leak out of us to enemies. Interesting, isn't it? We'll not try to overcome sins. Maybe you have sins. I've had sins that just dog you year in, year out. And you think, how can I get rid of this thing? You know, and then you try to apply fasting or other things to it, and it hardly ever works. Why? Because that's not the way we do it. That's outside in living. We need inside out living, that we overcome sins by our love for God. You can't get rid of idols in our life. You can't take them away. You have to replace them with something better, and the replacement is Jesus himself. More love for him will overcome idols. Isn't that wonderful? This place is Jesus' number one. We don't force him as number one. How could we? Yeah, it's like being in a marriage and you say, I must love my wife. I must. It just doesn't work. You love your wife because you love your wife. Yeah? And I want to do nice things for Victoria because I love Victoria. Yeah? I don't try to love her. I love her. And we can be like that with the Lord too. We just love him because of what he's done for us, and so that leads to glorious works for him, but they're inspired by love. So the question is then, as we bring this to a close, do you belong to Jesus? That is the biggest question I could possibly ask you today, okay? I know I'm married, and you say, well, yeah, you've got a wedding ring on, you know you're married. Yeah, but it's more than that, that band of gold right there. I know I'm married because, you know, I spend a lot of time with Victoria, I think the world of her, and we do things together, and I know what she likes, she knows what I like, so there's so much more than just a band of gold. And it's just the same in the Christian life. How do you know? Do you know that you are born again? Do you know that you belong to Jesus? So that's the first question I ask you. Do you belong to Jesus? Have you given yourself to him? If you have, then understand that he has given you already this position before God. A position of perfect standing. As he took on your position of guilt and punishment, you were given the position of righteousness before the Father. Before you did anything. Free grace. The cost of sin fell on him. And if you haven't given yourself to him, then why not? If you've not given yourself to Christ and you're in this room, why not? This is such good news. Are you depending on your own goodness and your own works to get to heaven? How could God ever deny me? I've done such good things. That's outside in living. It doesn't work. You don't know how sinful we truly are. What we need is inside out living, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Maybe now you realize the life you're living is a third rate life before God. And you think, well, what can I do to improve that? Well, like I've said before, it's time to realize the life you're living is not It doesn't work from the outside in, it's inside out. It's time to recognize your starting position of already accepted. I love that. Stamped. I love it. You know, I applied for a passport recently, and normally it's a real pain because the photograph, you know, you take your photograph and there's like a dog behind you or something, and they just reject it. And you have to, it's just an example. It's, or some funky wallpaper which they're not happy with. And they reject it, and you think, oh, I've got to go through it all again. This time I sailed it online and got my passport back in 2 weeks. It was absolutely incredible. And it was like a accepted, approved. You know, how much more is it for us in this Christian life that God already says over our lives, if we belong to Him today, accepted, approved, before we do anything? So as Hebrews says, just as I close, we can draw near to God in this new and living way. In the old days, and this is what Hebrews is very much about, it was about the sacrifices. You do these certain things and you will be able to get into the presence of God. The blood of animals, goats and bulls and all of these things. But those are the old and dead way. It's not by our works that we gain assurance that we're going to heaven. Our full assurance of faith is based on Christ's cross and His work that He's done for us. All of this means that we can be accepted. This is why He said on the cross, "It is finished." Isn't that good?